It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What up? Week number 8, just about in the books. What's going on, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer here with the solo edition recap podcast of the Fade the Chalk pod, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. And look, I got to be honest with you, trying to comprehend what the hell I just watched on Sunday Night Football. It was weird. It was just some of the plays and play calling in that game were just atrocious. And, of course, the quarterback play was not great either. So, yeah, we'll break all that down. Week 8 was pretty interesting. I mean, the wind and the weather was the main storyline heading into the week. And, you know, there was some concerns and some bad play because of it, but we still had plenty of really strong fantasy performances regardless of the weather. So we'll break all that down, as well as all the games, injuries, snaps, trends, all that good stuff. Let's start with probably the most tilting game of the day for me. Colts 41, Lions 21. And look, I'm taking the L here. I've been talking about trading for Jonathan Taylor and getting him on your team because they have to start using him more, and the second half schedule is fantastic. And one of those things is true, including this matchup, but yikes. I mean, you saw from the jump that this was still going to be a committee-type approach. Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines both got touches in the opening drive. And look, I've never been, like, The reason I've been super high on Taylor in fantasy in the second half is because, you know, I still think he's a talented player. The situation's good and the schedule's great. But, like, I never thought, oh, Jonathan Taylor's, you know, the best running back in the league. He's the best running back in his class. He wasn't even my top running back in the class. So, like, I'm not blind to the fact that he has not been very explosive this year. He's not bursting when he gets the ball. He's not finding running lanes consistently. And we saw that again today. He was kind of running straight into the back of the Colts offensive line. So he has 11 carries. He had one carry in the second half, and it was a goal line carry that he just got nothing, got absolutely stuffed. And Jordan Wilkins came in and scored in the next play. And that was the story here. Jordan Wilkins had 20 carries to Taylor's 11. He played 39 snaps to Taylor's 26. And then Nyheim Hines scored 2 receiving touchdowns. So Taylor was not, like, necessarily benched in the second half, but they clearly went to Wilkins, and that's concerning. Whenever a team makes a move like that in the second half of a game and they win, they tend to kind of stick with that. And look, my mood has changed drastically on Jonathan Taylor. You know, it seems like forever ago it was that week two game against the Vikings. After Marlon Mack went down, Taylor got, like, 25 touches, and everybody, including myself, was like, all right, bet we have a top 10 running back at least going forward. And that's not the case. I mean, they're using all these guys. The tight ends are getting a ton of touchdowns. Trey Burton had another wildcat rushing touchdown today. I'm worried about Jonathan Taylor. I really am. He's going to have some productive games because I still think he's probably the goal line back in an offense that wants to run the football, and he has some great matchups going forward. Maybe not so next week against Baltimore, I believe is who they face. But yeah, like, he is not the top 10 running back we all assumed he would become after Marlon Mack went down. Like, that is just not going to happen. Like, especially, he just hasn't been running well. It's been bad. He's going to have some solid games because they're still throwing to him when he's on the field, but he's also still coming off the field for Nyheim Hines and hurry up in 2-minute drills. And, like, this is a game where they were ahead the whole way. They win by 20, and Wilkins gets the work. It's concerning for sure. We had a handful of injuries in week number 8. 2 of them came from this game. Kenny Galladay left early with a groin and did not return. T.Y. Hilton also with a groin did not return. So Marvin Jones had 3 for 39 and 2 touchdowns on 7 targets. You know, it's always a good day when Marvin Jones scores touchdowns. He converted his lone end zone target into a score. I mean, if Kenny Galladay's forced to miss time, Marvin Jones will be, you know, a viable wide receiver 3. It is worth noting that Galladay missed the first 2 weeks of the season, and Marvin Jones was nothing fantastic. This Lions offense is just they are running the ball on first and second down more than any team in the league. Like, it seems like, at least. They got to be up there. And it's really annoying. So for me, like, we'll have to see what the status is with Kenny Golladay. Like I said, Marvin Jones wouldn't become like a wide receiver two or anything like that, but you'd feel a little bit better about him. Obviously, if Golladay did miss time, again, we'll have to wait and see on that. Hockenson, he had another handful of targets, 10 of them, 7 for 65 on the day. Nice game from him. He looks like he's going to continue to be a really solid tight end one. He's, you know, like I said, 50 yards or a touchdown in every game this season. I've talked about his end zone target share a lot this season, where at least heading into this week, he had the highest percentage of a team's end zone targets in the NFL among any tight end with at least 15 total targets. And now Kenny Golladay might miss time, who's one of the premier end zone target just players in the NFL. So Hockenson, you should feel really safe about him. And the Lions finally had to throw the ball a lot. So Stafford had a nice game. Both these quarterbacks had good games, surprisingly. Rivers was really efficient, 3 touchdowns against the Lions, just poor defense. And Stafford had 3 touchdowns, 2 to Marvin Jones, and the third, I believe, went to Kerryon Johnson. Speaking of Kerryon Johnson, let's look at the Lions' running back snaps from this game. Their running back performance was pretty dreadful. Like, they obviously fell behind. They couldn't run the ball when they had opportunities to. The Colts have been really good against the run. Swift led the way with 38 snaps, which is good, but Peterson and Kerryon still combined for 23, and Swift did pretty much nothing. Like I said, even after that Jacksonville game, he is not suddenly an RB2. He's a PPR flex in deeper leagues, and that's it. The Lions offense, how much did I love, and a lot of people love, this Lions offense for fantasy coming into the year, and they've just been annoying as hell. They're running the ball on early down so often. Golladay's been hurt. When Golladay's been active, he's been 100 yards or a touchdown in every game. Marvin Jones has been a disappointment. Hockenson's really been the lone bright spot. Matthew Stafford isn't throwing the ball a ton. Like, it's been rough. For the Colts, they had 11 different players with a target in this game. Like, even if T.Y. is out, like, Michael Pittman returned today. Mo Alie-Cox returned today. Jack Doyle still running routes. Burton's still running routes. Naheem Hines is still catching 5-6 passes a game. And they're still throwing to Taylor as well when he's on the field. So, I mean, Pascal would be the top guy for sure, but not like a... You know, you can pick him up if you need receiver help for sure, but it's like T.Y. hasn't done much this year anyway, so not something I'm like jumping at for sure. Let's move on. Miami Dolphins, man, this team plays hard as hell. They are, like, as a Bills fan, like, I don't like playing this Dolphins team. They are tough. They win this one against the Rams 28-17, led by the defense, and it was literally because of the defense. They had, I believe, a kick return touchdown or a punt return touchdown. They had a defensive touchdown. They had 4 turnovers, I believe. They were just all over Jared Goff, who was just terrible in this game. It looked like it was going to be a great, great start for Darrell Henderson. He was running extremely well early, which wasn't too much of a surprise. Debro was on him a lot on the podcast during the week, and it, like, rightfully so. I mean, we know the Rams are top 5 in run rate, and Miami, that's the weak point of their defense. And the Rams, per usual, were sticking with it. I mean, 8 carries for 47 yards to get started for Darrell Henderson. Aaron Donald, I think, got a strip sack on Tua to get him down to, like, the 15-yard line. Henderson ripped off a couple big runs to get him inside the 5, and then Robert Woods scored the rushing touchdown, which was tilting. And then he suffers an injury. Henderson left with a thigh injury and didn't play at all in the second half. So as a result, you saw Malcolm Brown play 57 snaps, 20 for Cam Akers. Malcolm Brown is the guy they prefer and trust in passing downs and on pass protection. So when they were behind for the majority of this game, not too surprising to see Malcolm Brown get that work. The Rams had 95. This is how you know the Dolphins offense just couldn't get anything going. The Rams had 95 offensive snaps in this game. 95. I've been covering fantasy football for a while now. 6-7 years. I don't know if I remember a team, especially in a game that didn't go to overtime, play that many snaps on offense. It was insane. But yeah, like Daryl Henderson, we got to keep an eye on this because we've seen Malcolm Brown be the preferred goal line back at times. And we've obviously seen this Rams team at times be able to support both Henderson and Malcolm Brown because they run the ball so much. Like, we'll have to see. I mean, Akers has been dropped in a lot of leagues. He only played 20 snaps. Like, I'm still not trusting that Sean McVay would give him 15 touches a game if Henderson were out, but he's obviously going to play more than, you know, the three snaps per game that he'd been playing prior to today. So Malcolm Brown or Akers, either one are available. You'd have to go get them if you need running back help. You know, Henderson didn't return in the entire second half with a thigh injury, so definitely something to monitor. For the pass catchers, Cooper Kupp, man, 21 targets. He finishes with 110 yards on 11 catches. And look, 21 targets is surprising, but like I expect him to be the highest targeted receiver on this team because heading into this game, Miami was top five in targets allowed per game to the slot. That is where you want to attack them because you have the two really strong perimeter corners in Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, and we saw that you can really get Nick Needham in the slot with Cooper Kupp, and he had a nice game. But Robert Woods scores the two touchdowns. I mean, people just keep sleeping on the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. I don't get it, but 7 for 85 and a score for Woods through the air, and he adds two rushes and a touchdown on the ground. He's on pace for 32 rushing attempts, which is would be a career high for Robert Woods. The floor is built in with this guy and Cooper Kupp every week. The ceilings are they're good enough to have these ceiling games when the Rams are playing from behind. They have a bye next week, but then they have Seattle, and we know what receivers do against Seattle. We saw the San Francisco receivers do it today. So, yeah, Robert Woods, man, just I don't get why he was being drafted so late compared to these other receivers. He's been great this year, and he's just really good at football. Other than that, though, I mean, Myles Gaskin, we saw Jordan Howard a healthy scratch once again. And Gaskin played a ton of the snaps here. He got the short yardage touchdown. He played 43 of a possible 49 snaps in this game for the Miami Dolphins. Again, like I said, their offense wasn't on the field very often. He also had 18 carries. And he led the team with 6 targets into his first game, which is pretty encouraging. So 21 touches for Gaskin compared to 4 for Matt Breida and just 2 for Malcolm Perry, who was active today. This is Gaskin's backfield still. He's getting the goal line work. He is an every week RB2. I know his, you know, efficiency wasn't great, but again, he scored. He had 21 touches. I don't understand why he was priced where he was. I think he was 5,200 on DraftKings. Just that was the price that stood out to me. That and Keenan Allen's. And both those guys scored today. So, yeah, and Tua, like, I wasn't high on Devontae Parker in this game. He was bad other than the 3-yard touchdown catch. It's going to be a wait and see for this passing game. Mike Gesicki, by the way, he's droppable. Just Tua is going to be, like I talked about it, I don't think Tua is going to be as good for these receivers and for fantasy as Ryan Fitzpatrick was. So, and the Tua, like, we have no idea. Like, we would still expect him to be a good player, but we just, after this game, we don't know. I mean, 22 pass attempts, they were barely on the field. They ran the ball a lot late in the game. Like, we just don't. I want to see Tua in a back-and-forth game or one where they have to throw. So, it'll be interesting to watch Tua going forward. Let's go to Buffalo. So weird just all week as a Bills fan having all the confidence in the world to beat the Patriots. And it almost didn't work out. But the Bills hang on. 24-21 win over New England. We saw last week Zach Moss start to show signs of taking over this backfield. Maybe not taking over because they're still going to use both Moss and Singletary. But last week, Moss played a season high in snaps. Singletary played a season low. In this game today, for the first time all year, Zach Moss led the team in snaps with 31 to Singletary's 28. He had 4 carries from inside the 10-yard line. He converted 2 of his three goal-to-go carries into touchdowns. Dude, Zach Moss is on the up and up in fantasy, and it's great for Buffalo because their running game has been very bad this year, and it was great today. And that's going to. We talked a lot in the beginning of the season how the Bills were just throwing and throwing and throwing in early downs. And that was partially because Brian Daboll is kind of, like I said, giving Josh Allen the keys of the offense. And it's also because the Bills just weren't running the ball very effectively. If they can run the ball more and just better, Josh Allen's volume might go down, but he's still going to be efficient in this offense because Stephon Diggs is incredible. John Brown's healthy. Cole Beasley's reliable as hell. And Josh Allen's still running. He only had one touchdown again today. But again, 22 passing attempts. The running game was working for Buffalo. There's going to be people worried about Josh Allen after this game. Look, I know last week he didn't have a touchdown either, but he had over 300 passing yards. He had like 17 fantasy points in a game he didn't score. Gabriel Davis had a touchdown called back last week, and Gabriel Davis dropped a relatively easy touchdown in this game. So Allen's over 20 fantasy points if both those instances are a little bit different. So I'm not worried about Josh Allen. And man, they host the Seahawks next week, and that game could be really fun. I mean, the Bills receivers are great, and Seattle can't cover receivers. Seattle's been better against the run, and the Bills minus today have been bad running the football. We could see, if we get a scenario where both Allen and Wilson throw 40 times, we could have fantasy fireworks. So yeah, I'm excited for that game. I think Seattle open is like 3.5-point road favorites. That's going to be a really fun game. Stephon Diggs, his floor has been massive this year, 6 for 92 on 9 targets. Got a little bit banged up late in the game. He's fine. He's good to go. That's it for Buffalo. But Zach Moss, one of the biggest storylines of the week and a major, major winner after this game. For New England, Cam, good to see him keep running. 54 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Lost that fumble late, which, man, it was so bittersweet for me in this game because I have been one of the biggest Cam supporters for his career. I love him to death. He's one of my favorite players ever in the NFL. I still have his jersey in my closet. Just love him. Absolutely love Cam. But I had to root against him today as a Bills fan. It was really odd. This Patriots offense, the passing game is bad. I mean, Jacoby Myers led the way with 6 for 58 on 10 targets with N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman both out. And then the ground attack, Damien Harris quietly has 100 yards in two of his first four games. He led the way with 16 carries. But Burkhead played 32 snaps, James White played 31, and Harris played 20. I think we could start to see Harris get more snaps going forward. He seems to be the quote-unquote Sony Michel role, which is in competitive or games where they're ahead, he'll get 13 to 16 carries. And they have the Jets next week, which I think they'll be ahead, but he's an okay flex until Michelle's back. I believe he's eligible to return this week or one more week. I'll have to double check, but I know he's still on the IR. But yeah, not the most appealing game for fantasy. So we can move on to Minnesota and Green Bay. Dalvin Cook just scored again. I don't know how he did it. The game's over, but Minnesota 28, Green Bay 22. This was one of the games where wind was a factor, but didn't impact Davante Adams, who we'll talk about him in a minute. Let's start with Dalvin Cook, who broke the slate, 30 carries, 163 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he had 63 yards in the passing game with another touchdown. He is the third player in Minnesota Vikings history with 4 touchdowns in a game. First game off the injury, he handles 32 of the 35 running back touches for Minnesota. Just unstoppable performance. Him being so damn good destroyed Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson and Irv Smith because Cousins threw the ball 14 times. Like nobody, except maybe the receiver on the other side of this game, is going to produce when their quarterback throws 14 times. And we've seen Minnesota, when they can, they are perfectly content with Kirk Cousins throwing the ball 20 times or less. Perfectly content. And when Dalvin Cook is ripping off 6 yards every time he touches the ball, I don't see why you wouldn't just keep giving it to him. He was incredible in this game. Luckily, I had a good amount of him in DFS because I had a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo too elsewhere. So Dalvin Cook saved me from having a brutal, brutal weekend. I mean, at this point, with the way Dallas' offense is looking, we'll see if McCaffrey's back next week, but it's pretty clear that the top three running backs in fantasy going forward are easily Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, and Derrick Henry. you know, we'll see with McCaffrey. He could easily leapfrog one of those guys, given how he looks and how his usage is coming back. But, yeah, Dalvin Cook is just absurd. If you have him on your team, you probably had a fun time today. If you played against him, your computer was probably closed by 3 o'clock. So, yeah. I'm, once again, like, one catch for 16 yards for Irv Smith. Look, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Irv Smith. Hard for them to do anything when their quarterback throws the ball 14 times. Justin Jefferson did shadow, after shadowing Thielen, or not Justin Jefferson, Jair Alexander shadowed Justin Jefferson in this game. And in week one, he shadowed Adam Thielen on over 80% of his routes. So interesting that after seeing Jefferson break out a little bit since that game, that they put Jair Alexander on him. Something to keep an eye on going forward. If some of these other corners start to shadow him instead of Thielen. But Irv Smith, back to him. So, yes, he only had one catch. But you would think in a game where they're running the ball, you know, they ran the ball, what, 33 to 34 times with their running backs? You would think that's a game where Kyle Rudolph dominates the snaps. But Irv Smith, yeah, you don't get points for blocking, but he led the team in tight ends. He played 41 snaps to 39 for Kyle Rudolph. Which tells me they ran a lot of 12 personnel, and they just... Irv Smith was so good blocking this game. He is going to keep playing, and they're using more two tight end sets every week, it seems like. And their defense is still bad. So, I'm still, and I'm sure Debro is too, I'm still hype about Irv Smith going forward. Let's go to the Packers. Devontae Adams, man. Is there a safer player in fantasy right now? Like, seriously, I feel like you're getting a touchdown every game. He's averaging like a touchdown and a half per game this year. He had three today. I just, the Devontae Adams-Aaron Rodgers connection has to be top 10 I've ever seen, personally. It's just flawless. So Devontae Adams now, he has 7 touchdowns in the year. He's missed 2 games. He left the game relatively early, and he still has more receiving touchdowns than the Jets, the Patriots, and the Giants, who I think are one behind him, and they play on Monday night. But, I mean, yeah, he has double-digit targets in every full game he's played this season. He's unbelievable. I love him. I'm probably going to get his jersey because I love him so much. Jamal Williams obviously got the start for Aaron Jones, who missed his second straight game with a calf injury. He played 63 snaps to A.J. Dillon's 10. And over the last 2 weeks with Aaron Jones out, Jamal Williams has 45 of Green Bay's 57 running back touches. Look, I know he didn't find the end zone today, but caught all 6 of his targets, had 16 carries for 75 yards. And it didn't seem to be a serious injury for Aaron Jones, but the Packers are super cautious with their players. So we know Jamal Williams is a low-end RB1 whenever Aaron Jones is out. You know, A.J. Dillon's not going to be a thing. They trust Jamal Williams a lot. Other than that, though, I mean, Robert Tonyan, 5 for 79 on 7 targets. That was kind of nice to see. You know, when they have to throw a lot, occasionally Aaron Rodgers will actually throw to players not named Devontae Adams. So, you know, do with that what you will, I guess. Let's move on to Pittsburgh. 28-24 win over the Baltimore Ravens. They stay undefeated, 7-0. They are a very good football team. So we had Mark Ingram ruled out for this game. We knew it was going to be a split backfielder committee between J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. Dobbins led the way with 54 snaps compared to Edwards' 26, but it's worth pointing out that Gus Edwards left in this game with a knee injury. He missed most of the second quarter, but he did return. Both ran the ball pretty well in this game, but Dobbins looked awesome. He looked so good in this game. He had 113 yards on 15 carries. He is so far and away their best running back. I mean, he's way more explosive than Mark Ingram. He's a way better pass catcher than Gus Edwards. He is, he's averaging over 4 yards after contact this year. He's got explosiveness. His balance is great. Like, he looks awesome. He legitimately, to me, looks like the best rookie running back. Just when he runs the football. I know Clyde's been great, but I just think Dobbins, I don't think it's going to happen in this backfield, but if there was ever a situation where he got 15 carries a game, he would smash in this scheme and in this offense. But yeah, like, a lot of people probably got frustrated with him not getting any touches, really. But after this performance, I mean, he's the first running back to get to 100 yards against the Steelers this year. He looked great. So if he was dropped, he's a must-add for sure. Edwards got the goal line touch and scored. Keep an eye on this, obviously. If Ingram's out next week, these guys will be both viable flex options. They're going to run the ball enough. Like, they had 16 and 15 carries in this game. So they're going to run the ball enough to where both are going to get 12 touches, you would imagine. So that's definitely good to see. I thought he looked great in this game. Hollywood Brown saved his day with a touchdown. He had one catch for 3 yards, just two targets for him. This was his first game with under a 20% target share in the season. A lot of people are freaking out about Marquise Brown. He even tweeted something about, it was like a cryptic tweet. A lot of people assumed it was about him not getting involved. I mean, yeah, like the Baltimore passing offense has been bad this year, and it was bad again today. I'm still interested in Hollywood Brown going forward. Like, he still is among the league leaders, if not still leads the league in deep targets. Lamar Jackson just hasn't been throwing any catchable deep passes. Like, I know we're 8 weeks in, but they got to start connecting on some of these. And this was the first game where he didn't have a 20% target share this year, Hollywood Brown. And the end zone targets have been quietly productive. He had, I think, two in this game. He had one that was almost a touchdown, and the next play he scored. If somebody's freaking out about Hollywood Brown, I would like to acquire him. I still believe in the talent. I believe Lamar Jackson's going to, you know, I believe this passing offense is going to turn it around. But a lot of people aren't like that. A lot of people are just completely done with Marquise Brown. You know, I'm a little bit more optimistic, I think. Bad game for Mark Andrews, 3 for 32 on 6 targets. Like, this passing game is not good right now. I can't lie. You look at Lamar Jackson. He's outside the top 10 in quarterback fantasy points in both per game and just overall. It's been a struggle for him. He had 16 carries today, which is nice. He had 65 yards. He had the two touchdowns, but he had, I think, a fumble and two picks. It hasn't been pretty for this offense in the passing game. And, like, you can only run it so much. So, not to mention, they lost Ronnie Stanley for the year, who's the best left tackle in the NFL. He's out for the year with an ankle injury. That's not going to help their passing game. So, yeah, like, for me, like, we obviously knew Lamar Jackson was going to regress at some point, in some way. But he's down in terms of way down in terms of the regression. It's way more than I thought would happen. And, look, at this point, you're obviously, like, obvious guys like Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson are well ahead of Lamar Jackson. But at this point, I think you have to say that you would prefer Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson in fantasy. You could honestly make the case with Justin Herbert with the way he's playing right now. We'll talk about him a little bit. Elsewhere, it's kind of tough. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to go there with Burrow. I don't know if I'm ready to go there with, Brady. You can make the case Brady is up there now. Like, it's been bad. It has been bad. They have some better matchups coming ahead. Like, this is the best defense in the NFL, the Steelers. Like, I didn't expect Lamar Jackson to come out and have 300 yards and 100 rushing yards. But we'll see, man. We will see for sure. By the way, I wanted to point this out with Devontae Adams when we were on the Packers game. Tristan Cockcroft pointed out in his article on ESPN, really, really, like, massive stat about Devontae Adams and how good and how efficient he is. So, according to Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, Devontae Adams right now is averaging 0.50 fantasy points per snap. According to Cockcroft, that's the highest by any receiver during the 13 seasons that they have tracked the snap count data. He's unreal. He's a cheat code. All right, moving on to the rest of these early games. We have the Jets. They were 19.5-point underdogs in this game. They lost by more than that, 35-19. Patrick Mahomes, man. 31 of 42, 416 yards and 5 touchdowns. 2 go to Tyreek Hill, who had 98 yards. 1 goes to Kelce, who had 109 yards. 1 goes to Mecole Hardman. 1 goes to DeMarcus Robinson. The Chiefs' onslaught was the play. Didn't have to worry about weather in this game. We knew that they were going to win by a lot. This was weird, man. Like, Patrick Mahomes is great, whatever. We get that. The Chiefs were ahead all day. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell both have 6 carries. I mean, I don't know how to feel about the Chiefs running backs yet, because we saw last game where Clyde played like 10 or 11 more snaps and only had a couple more touches than Le'Veon. And that was like a weird game because the Chiefs offense was on the field a lot because they had a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, and their starters came out like with 3 or 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So we had that, and I was like, okay, let's wait till next week maybe where we get more offensive snaps and stuff like that to kind of gauge what the playing time is going to be for these running backs. And then you have today's game where, despite leading all the way through and leading by a lot and having 66 offensive snaps, they only run the ball 12 times between the two. Clyde plays 33 snaps, Le'Veon 17. I don't know. I don't know if Clyde is a low-end one still, a high-end two, or like a mid-range two. Like, I wish I had somebody on the podcast with me to kind of pick their brain, but like, the passing game work is middling for Clyde. Le'Veon Bell had 3 for 31 in the air. Clyde had 3 for 10. They used both running backs on the field together at sometimes in the first half or so on the first drive, and then they just kind of went drive by drive. I mean, they threw 42. I need a game where it's back and forth, or if they're just kind of slightly ahead, and we haven't had that the last 2 weeks. So I don't know. Maybe you have a better answer than me, but this is weird with the Chiefs backfield right now. For the Jets, I mean, Braxton Berrios, if you start him in PPR leagues, 8 for 34 and 11 targets as a desperation play. Down by like 40 points or 35 points, 30 points. The Jets keep giving Frank Gore touches. You're 0-8. I don't get it. The Jets stink. You're not starting anybody from the Jets until Jamison Crowder comes back, and that's it. So, yeah. Brutal. Cincinnati 31, Tennessee 20. How about this impressive performance from the Bengals upsetting the Tennessee Titans? Joe Burrow, 2 touchdowns, 249 passing yards. 1 goes to Tyler Boyd, 1 goes to Gio. Gio scored twice in this game. I talked about how I was fading him in the Discord in DFS, and I missed on that one. I saw that the Bengals were down 4 starting offensive linemen, and Gio got there. Samaje Perine had 10 carries in this game, which was a little bit interesting, and it's not like they all came late. He vultured a touchdown from Gio. Gio's obviously been, I mean, the FTN splits app, I was looking at the numbers, and I referenced it in my article. But, you know, since 2017, when Mixon's missed, Gio's averaging around 19 to 20 DK points per game, around 18 touches per game. Like, he's a locked-in low-end RB1 whenever Mixon's out. Now, the Bengals have a bye in week 9, and then they come back. So, very possible that Joe Mixon's back by then. But Gio just always produces whenever he gets, you know, the touches with Joe Mixon out. Let's look at, I want to find the snaps from this game as well. I believe Gio still mostly dominated the snaps, but I did notice Samaje Perine was in this game a lot more than I would have imagined. Gio played 48 snaps to Perine's 23, so it was still mostly Gio who was still involved in the passing game as well. Tyler Boyd has been awesome this year. Another player I kind of missed on. I thought AJ Green would be more of a factor, and he went back to being kind of a non-factor. 2 for 19. Alden Tate comes out of nowhere with 7 for 65 on 7 targets. And T. Higgins, 9 targets, lead the team, 6 for 78. They're throwing enough to where at least 2 of these guys are going to be top 30 guys each week. The question is, will the third one be able to get there? For the Titans, Derrick Henry, 18 for 112 and a touchdown. He's really good at football. A.J. Brown salvaged his day with a short yardage touchdown. Corey Davis, 8 for 128 and a score on 10 targets. He has quietly had a really productive season. I don't know when you'll... And Jonnu Smith was a major bust for me. He was arguably my favorite tight end on the slate after seeing what Cincinnati's allowed to tight ends this year, and he did not get there at all. 2 for 29 on 2 targets. Tannehill spread it around a lot. I mean, Firkser had more targets than Jonnu. Adam Humphries left with a concussion, but he had 2 targets before he left. Just a bad game from the Titans offense for the most part. I mean, Derrick Henry was great. Tannehill was okay, but, you know, Corey Davis, somebody to definitely... The problem with Corey Davis is, like, definitely can pick him up if he's out there. I just don't know when you're going to feel comfortable starting him, you know? This is still a relatively low-volume passing offense, where A.J. Brown most weeks is still the alpha. It seems like when teams are playing zone against Tennessee, the routes Davis runs are better against zone, whereas A.J. Brown is kind of the better man coverage beater. So, nobody would be surprised if Corey Davis went back to having 3 catches for 27 yards next week, like, at all. So I'm stuck with him. Like, I think he's having a really productive year, and he's perfectly fine to speculate on because the talent's definitely there. I don't know if we're going to have a floor from Corey Davis every week. All right, this was the main game with win concerns. Like, I don't want to say the main game. This had the biggest win concerns. Las Vegas 16, Cleveland 6. We saw, like, a lot of conservative passing game and a lot of running from these teams. Josh Jacobs had 31 carries in this game for 128 yards. And it still felt like a bad game because he missed on 3 straight goal-to-go touches and couldn't score. But the volume was obviously there. I mean, the Raiders had no interest in throwing the ball in these conditions. Jacobs' volume is great. He failed to catch a pass, I think, for the first time this season. But when you have 31 carries, I mean, it's okay if you don't catch a pass. Hunter Renfro scored 4 for 26 and a score. Slot receivers continue to torch Cleveland. I want to see who Cleveland has next week because, look, I've been targeting slot receivers all season long against the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to continue to do it. So let me just quickly check who the Browns play next week in week number, what is it, 10? I have a bye, don't they? They do have a bye. Then they have Houston. So maybe Randall Cobb. Maybe Nick Chubb's back. There was some speculation that he could be back after the week 9 bye. Kareem Hunt was a pretty big bust in this one against an awful Raiders run defense. Hunt, 66 yards on 14 carries. He adds 2 catches for 7 yards. He was one of my highest rostered players on the slate, and he didn't really get it done. Jarvis Landry, 11 targets. He had 4 for 52. I think he had a touchdown called back in this game. He did. So the targets were great. He's had, I think I saw a tweet from Frank Stample of CBS Sports that he has over a 30% target share in his last 2 games without Odell Beckham. So, yeah, like Landry, probably a high-end wide receiver 3 going forward. Higgins only had 3 targets. Harrison Bryant had 3 targets. And Njoku had 3 targets. Just not much of a passing game from either team in this one. And Baker still only threw the ball 25 times. So, you know, 11 out of the 25 targets, or 11 out of the 20, yeah, 11 out of the 25 targets went to Landry. So that's very encouraging for Jarvis Landry. And then Darren Waller, I was really high on him too, but again, neither team wanted to throw the ball very much. Waller still led the team with 6 targets. He caught 5 for 28 yards. He's still a top 5 tight end every single week. Is that it for the 1 o'clock games? Yes, I believe it is. So to the 4 o'clock games we go. Chargers. They did it again, y'all. Up 24-3, I think they were, and they lose 31-30. Unbelievable, this team. Let's start with the good from the Chargers. Justin Herbert. He has now scored 3 or more touchdowns in 4 consecutive games. He's been fantastic. He has the weapons. He's making the throws. He continues to run a good amount as well. 21 yards for Herbert on the ground. Look, I flirted with the idea that Herbert's better than Lamar Jackson going forward. You can make the case he's better than Josh Allen going forward. addition to this offense has changed everything. I know it was a small sample with Tyrod Taylor, but like he knows where he's going with the football immediately. He's making the throws, and he's been incredible for Keenan Allen, who has 10-plus targets in every single game, every single full game with Justin Herbert, over a 30% target share. Maybe DraftKings will price him up for once. He scored again in this game, 9 for 67 and a touchdown on 11 targets. He's a wide receiver one every week. It's been awesome, Keenan Allen, with Justin Herbert. And Mike Williams, 5 for 99 and a touchdown. He's going to have some, he's going to be a boomer bust wide receiver three, but he makes some of the best catches in the NFL. He's awesome. Just got to stay healthy. Hunter Henry, another down game for him. But what are you going to do? I mean, tight end's so bad. You're the only tight ends you probably feel better about than Henry each week are obviously Kelce, Kittle, Waller, and Andrews. That's probably it, right? I mean, we'll see about Goddard going forward, but the Chargers backfield, tough to project each week. You look at the snaps today, Justin Jackson leads away with 40. Tremaine Pope plays 25, and then Joshua Kelly plays 21. Jackson had 20 touches, Pope had 10, Kelly had 8. I don't know what to make of this backfield. Justin Jackson's been the most explosive each week. He's been the best in the passing game each week. He's averaging 5.5, or just over 5.5 targets per game over the last three games for the Chargers. He seems to be the guy right now, but Anthony Lynn said we're gonna keep using guys until somebody takes this job and kind of establishes himself as the lead back until Austin Ekeler returns. And they said that's gonna be a while for Austin Ekeler. They're not anticipating him being back for a few weeks. So Jackson right now. I mean, Kelly's been pretty not impressive since the first couple weeks of the season. So, I know Pope got hurt. He took a mean shot from Kareem Jackson to the head. But still, even if he would miss time, it would still be a near 50-50 split. I think Jackson's a low-end running back two, decent flex going forward. And then the other two are desperation plays at best. For Denver, Phillip Lindsay cleared the concussion protocol, was active. They ran the ball 14 total times with their backs. Lindsay, 6 for 83 and a touchdown. He broke a 55-yard touchdown run. And then Gordon, 8 for 26. Just Lindsay continues to be way more efficient and way more explosive. The snap counts favored Melvin Gordon, 36 to 29. But once again, it's a bit of a limited sample, but when these two have been on the field, it's been a pretty much 50-50 split in terms of carries. So they're both flex plays at best going forward. Other than that, I mean, Deshaun Hamilton came out of nowhere with 4 for 82 and a score. KJ Hamler scored the game-winning touchdown. Noah Fant had 9 targets, 7 for 47. Judy had 10 targets. Locke had some good and bad moments like he's had most of his career. Albert O scored a touchdown. He continues to be a red zone threat. He has 5 end zone targets the last 3 weeks. That is a significant number, to say the least. So someone to maybe keep an eye on. New Orleans wins this one in overtime, 26-23. This game's pretty cut and dry. I mean, Allen Robinson, also a player that cleared the concussion protocol. Really, really good at football. 6 for 87 and a touchdown. He really just lost Lattimore and these corners whenever they were on him. So good. Just so good. Anthony Miller, though, he played a season-high 75% of the snaps. He ran a route on over 80% of the dropbacks and had 11 targets. We know Nick Foles, over the last couple years, has targeted the slot at one of the highest rates in the NFL. If he can start to get those snaps up, he could be a pickup in PPR leagues, for sure. He had 8 for 73 in this game. Darnell Mooney scored and had 6 targets, so that was good. But, I mean, Miller is definitely somebody to keep an eye on because I liked him a lot going into the season. Foles still looks pretty bad, but the worry with Miller all year has been the snaps. And they went up in this game pretty clearly. So keep an eye on Anthony Miller. like, that is encouraging that the snaps finally went up, and not only went up, but went up to that extent where he played that many snaps and ran that many routes. And, of course, he was in the slot that primarily, so that's good to see. Dave Montgomery played 59 snaps at running back. Cordell Patterson played 10. It was all Montgomery. He had a couple decent runs, but it was mostly due to just a huge holes. And, you know, it took him 21 carries to get 89 yards. You know, you're getting 20 touches from each week. They're not going to be super efficient. If he scores, he's going to have a good game. If not, he's going to get you like 12 PPR points. For the Saints, Alvin Kamara didn't score a touchdown. Didn't matter. You know, the floor is just ridiculous for this guy. 12 for 67 on the ground, and then he adds 9 for 96 on 13 targets through the air. I don't know if Michael Thomas is ever going to come back. It's something new every week with him. If he comes back, okay, Kamara goes down 8 targets. If he's still out, he's going to have 10 targets, 11 targets. He has 50 or more catches in each of his first four seasons. He is the third running back in NFL history to accomplish that. He's just cheat code, man. He's awesome. He's got Tampa Bay next week, where we saw in week one where he got bottled, but he scored the touchdowns. And look, their corners are playing so well. Their run defense is great. What do? You put Alvin Kamara on their linebackers, who, by the way, are really freaking good with Devin White and Levante David. But I don't know why I'm talking about this. You're not benching Alvin Kamara. It's more of a DFS thing. We'll talk about that on Friday. Jared Cook scores. Other than that, we'll see if Emmanuel Sanders, he should be back for this next game. And Michael Thomas, the question remains with Michael Thomas. Last of the 4 o'clock games. San Francisco 27, Seattle 37. Russell Wilson, 4 more touchdowns. He's going to win the MVP award. So, he's awesome. DK Metcalf, it was his turn this week. We saw Lockett go off last week. Metcalf, from the jump, destroyed this defense. Career highs in catches and yards for Metcalf, with 12 for 161 on 15 targets. Emmanuel Mosley just had no shot. They picked on him all game. I believe at one point he had given up like 100 yards and a touchdown in coverage. It was bad. DK Metcalf and Lockett, they're both top 10 plays each week with the way Russell Wilson's playing right now. Lockett, yeah, he had 4 for 33, but, you know, it's, if one of these guys, like the last 2 weeks, is going to go off like they have, like, these guys can both have 100-yard games. They're not both going to have 150 and 2 touchdown games. And then whatever the hell Lockett did last week. Like, so if Metcalf can go off like this, we've seen Russell Wilson. When there's a mismatch and when there's a matchup to exploit, he's going there. And that was the case in week 7 with Tyler Lockett. And that was the case today in week 8 with DK Metcalf. So if you took a chance and waited for Chris Carson news, he was 50-50 heading into this game. Of course, it was a 4 o'clock game. And if you took the chance on it and waited and played DJ Dallas with Hyde and Carson out, it paid off. DJ Dallas played 54 snaps. Travis Homer, who was also banged up entering this game, played 7 snaps. And it was all DJ Dallas. He had 18 of the, 30 or 20 running back carries. David Moore got 2 carries as well. For 40, the efficiency was bad. He had 41 yards and 18 carries, but he scored twice. I read Carlos Hyde got hurt on his touchdown celebration last week, and Carson, apparently the injury wasn't serious. I'd be surprised if both sat next week. And to be honest, like, DJ Dallas didn't do anything to say, okay, he deserves more touches. Yeah, he scored twice, but he was wide open on a swing pass. And then he scored like a 1 yard touchdown. He was bad. He missed some communications on some of the play designs in this game. He's a rookie. That'll happen. But like, he didn't do anything to me where it's like, okay, Carson's going to lose touches when he comes back. And if Carson can't play and Hyde's back, then Hyde's going to lose touches. So I think this is going to be a 1 week thing for DJ Dallas. But, obviously keep an eye on it, because if they can't play, then DJ Dallas is probably, a low end RB2 going forward against Buffalo, who have had serious issues stopping the run this year. San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo. What what Anchorman say? Milk was a bad choice. Yeah, so is Jimmy Garoppolo. Then he has the quote-unquote injury with the ankle. He comes out, what was it, late in the third quarter. Nick Mullins replaced him, and the offense was suddenly clicking. I think they're saying that Garoppolo's ankle is bothering him just to mask the fact that he's been playing like shit. But he's been playing like shit. So Brandon Ayuk, 8 for 91 and a late touchdown. Kendrick Bourne, 8 for 81 and on 10 targets. I was on Kendrick Bourne or Brandon Ayuk or over Brandon Ayuk. The correct answer was apparently both. They were both fantastic in DFS or in season long. Ayuk got the touchdown, but they were both great. Receivers continue to torch the Seattle Seahawks. We know that. Tevin Coleman was running really well early in this game, but then he apparently aggravated his injury and never returned. I mean, I don't understand how unlucky that the 49ers are with injuries, because it wasn't just Tevin Coleman. First of all, the running backs have been hurt all year. But then George Kittle gets hurt on a miraculous catch down the sideline. Kittle gets hurt. The x-rays were apparently negative on George Kittle. Here's the problem, though. They play Green Bay on Thursday night. If they're without George Kittle and Tevin Coleman, because they're already going to be without Mostert and Jeff Wilson, who are both on IR. I mean, Jamichael Hasty scored the short yardage touchdown this game. He had 12 carries for 29 yards and a touchdown. He had one catch in the passing game. I mean, they're still limiting McKinnon. They used him as more of a pass catcher in this game. They talked about him being tired legs. I mean, against a bad Green Bay run defense, Debro, I mean, might want to just start dancing now. But, dude, Jamichael Hasty will be a really solid play against this awful Green Bay run defense. Like, I'd be shocked if Coleman played. I mean, and then Kittle, we'll have to see. Like, their offense becomes even more concentrated next week if they're without both of them. Their offense becomes Jamichael Hasty getting carries, McKinnon getting a couple, and then they're throwing to Ayuk and Kendrick Bourne. Like, we've seen injuries, and it's like the Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. If you're not a fan of those two teams, you probably shouldn't complain about. I'll throw in Dallas because of the fact that it's their starting quarterback and stuff like that, and it's their offensive line. But if you're not a fan of those three teams, I don't think you have the right to complain about injuries this year. I really don't. I've not seen anything like this. I guess we can briefly recap the Sunday night game. Eagles 23, Dallas 9. The Cowboys had no faith in Ben DiNucci. They were running Wildcat. Ezekiel Elliott entering this game had never taken a snap out of the Wildcat, and he did it like three times in the first half. They were running designed sweeps and reverses, and they were even having like receivers attempt to throw passes. Not that we should have expected much from Ben DiNucci, but he looked lost in this game. He immediately took the snap, looked to Michael Gallup, and threw the ball. And if he wasn't there, he was in trouble. Gallup had 12 targets in this game. I mean, Dalton, if he can clear the concussion protocol, that'll be better for Amari Cooper. If DiNucci has to start again, like, Gallup was clearly his guy. Like, nobody had good games here. Zeke's, you know, obviously not a top five back right now with the way this offense looks. And then for the Eagles, Carson Wentz, I mean, he was really bad in this game. Held onto the ball way too long, like he always does. Through two pretty bad interceptions. In one of the best matchups in fantasy, he really didn't deliver. Boston Scott ran well, but they kind of went away from him at some point. He had 15 carries for 70 yards. And Travis Fulgham, man, another touchdown, 6 for 78, and that score. Led the team with 7 targets. He's awesome. Like, he's the first read on a lot of these plays. And at this point, if I'm the Eagles, do you even tell Alshon to come back? Like, at this point, like, Fulgham's a better player. Jalen Reagor looked solid in his first game back and had 6 targets. Goddard's back. I don't know. Fulgham is at least a wide receiver two going forward each week. He's been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So, but that will do it. We have one more game on Monday night. It's an interesting game. We'll talk about that, what happens tomorrow night. But before we get out of here, Pristine Auction. If you are not into Pristine Auction, I don't know what you're waiting for, because look, if you're like me, I'm trying to get a situation where I have just sports memorabilia, jerseys, signed footballs, anything. I want my entire office slash room just coated with that stuff. And the best place to do that is easily pristineauction.com. They have daily auctions starting at dollar bids on over 1,000 plus items. The authenticity is absolutely guaranteed on every one of their products. Like I said, signed helmets, footballs, jerseys, more. Over 8,000 football items in their auctions at all times. And look, a dollar. Just starts at a dollar. You can get a Davante Adams signed jersey for, you know, $40 if you win that auction. And it's like, you don't have to say, oh, I don't want to pay that, because you have a chance to control your budget however you want and win bids on incredibly fantastic and, like I said, authentic items. Like I said, pristineauction.com. You head over to Pristine Auction. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. You use the promo code FTN, and you get $10 off your first invoice. You're just using that code. So you want a helmet, you want a football, go to pristineauction.com, use the promo code FTN, and you get $10 off your first invoice. Let them know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Hopefully week 8 was kind to you. Not too bad for me. Always can be better. We will have an exciting week of content, of course, at FTN. Daily FTN bets and FTNFantasy.com, as well as the Fade the Chalk podcast, Waiver Wire podcast with D-Bro on Monday, Trade podcast on Wednesday, and the Friday DFS game-by-game breakdown. I believe the head honcho, Kevin Adams, will be joining Derek and I. That is going to be super fun. I'm excited as hell to break down that slate. Hopefully it was a great day for you guys. Thanks for listening, as always. Check us out on iTunes if you could. Leave a rating and review. We'd appreciate it. Have a great Monday. We'll talk to you guys on the Waiver Podcast. Till then, peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.